Even though the world spins so fast, when you wake up, you must first compose yourself. Chant and meditate first. Before sleeping, chant and meditate as well. Don't immerse yourself in news and information. Make your mind peaceful, calm your heart, and see the value of the time that would otherwise be wasted wandering around in the world of social media. It will all pass away, and time will be wasted. We gain nothing beneficial for our hearts from it at all. The information and news we receive only makes our mind restless. It can create feelings of being inferior, and it can create comparisons. Then the mind becomes troubled. The Buddha didn't forbid us from knowing things or receiving information, but we must have sufficient mindfulness and wisdom. Therefore, we must sometimes close our ears, close our eyes, stay in quiet and peaceful places, and cultivate a lot of mindfulness so that we can solve the problems that arise in our hearts. But what happens if we spend too much time with social media? Instead of these things serving us, we become their slaves. This is very dangerous. We all know what a slave is like. Once we become slaves to social media, it stimulates our desires, and we begin comparing our lives. When we see society showing off wealth and prosperity, people flaunt what they have, and we too want to be wealthy and possess such things. In the end, we are deceived and drawn in. Wanting to become rich, we invest. We have to give them our money. In the end, we are deceived. This still happens in the present age. In the past, people were deceived as well, even before social media existed. But in this era, it has become even more severe. Some are tricked into gambling. Others are deceived into working abroad. People are tricked into various investments, investing in gold, in stocks, and many others. The money they saved their entire lives disappears. And when those investors lose all their money, what happens? They can no longer continue living their lives, and some even end their own lives. In the end, everything is lost completely. This is extremely dangerous. Social media keeps stimulating our desires, our jealousy, our anger, constantly making us compare ourselves with people who seem to have more than us in every way. And this becomes a cause for our hearts to suffer endlessly. Other people seem better than us. Then, if someone is doing poorly, we add more suffering onto them. These reactions arise very quickly in our hearts. Nowadays, we do not even need to travel anywhere. Just staying in front of this screen is enough for mental defilements to arise. The Buddha taught us to remain mindful at all times. Look at the world, but don't become deluded by it. Those who are deluded by the world are those who are deluded by sense impressions, sensual experiences. Those who are deluded by sensual experiences are people who are lost in the world. We have heard Venerable Ajahn Chah teach about this often. A person lost in the world is one lost in sensual experiences. A person lost in sensual experiences is one lost in this world, lost in forms, sounds, smells, tastes, physical sensations, and mental objects. That is exactly it. Even people who are not beautiful can be made to appear beautiful. Even those with poor physical appearance can be made to look good. This only increases delusion even more. As a result, our minds no longer know the truth of things. We cannot see the truth that this body is not beautiful, that the body is merely elements, that the body is impermanent. we simply cannot see it. Especially nowadays, it is progressing into the era of AI already. There is even AI taking moral precepts. AI taking precepts. Imagine that. AI robots vowing not to harm the lives of fellow robots. Now it has already moved to another level. They will not use batteries excessively. They won't steal. It becomes another world of robots. There are even monk ordinations for robots nowadays, in Korea. It's advanced so much that an entirely new dimension has emerged. Things like this. Therefore, we must be careful, because we can become lost in all these sensual experiences. So we must also know moderation. Not paying attention at all is not possible, and not knowing anything is not good either. Because sometimes phones can warn us about dangers. They can measure blood pressure, they can measure heart signals. Some people who got lost survived because of their phones. Carrying only a phone can save a life. When the heart is about to have a problem and someone collapses, people can come and help because of it. Things like this. So it's not that these things are without benefit, but we must know how to use them and know moderation as well. In the past, the Buddha taught that we should have moderation in eating, moderation in resting, and moderate in waking and striving with diligence. Moderation in eating can refer to food consumption. And with consuming technology, we must also practice moderation. In the same way, it is not food for the body, but food for the mind. So we must also be careful with it, to make it beneficial, to keep it balanced, not excessive to the point of causing tension, stress, and lack of rest. In the end, many people even lose their lives because of these things, due to a lack of mindfulness. Therefore, we must be careful and must train ourselves. Having social media can also be good. If a person is wise, they can use it to listen to Dhamma teachings. Isn't that what we have been doing? During COVID, we used Zoom. People staying at home who were interested in Dhamma could listen and search for teachings. If we go back 50 years ago, the world of social media did not exist. There were only transistor radios. The Dhamma teachers would give talks through radio stations. I myself listened as well. At that time, Venerable Ajahn Rasi of Wat Tha Sung came to give a Dhamma talk. He travelled all the way from Wat Tha Sung in Uthai Thani province to Takli district in Nakhon Sawan province. He appeared on an Air Force radio program. We had to wait and listen carefully. The signal was not very clear, but we listened attentively on those days. In this way, he compassionately came to teach through radio broadcasts of Dhamma. Nowadays, we can listen much more easily. For those who have faith, it is accessible. But for those without faith, they become even more lost in other worldly things. It depends on whether a person has mindfulness and wisdom. But for us, Dhamma practitioners, we must help one another. We can listen to Dhamma, study and seek knowledge, and gain benefit from it. In difficult times, when we cannot meet in person, whether far away or nearby, even living in different countries, we can still join through Zoom, listen to Dhamma, and chant together. Or we may have Dhamma retreats at the monastery, gathering here on site or online. Not everyone can physically come, but we can still study Dhamma together. If a person has mindfulness and wisdom, they can seek these things out. It is not difficult. But those without mindfulness, become deeply lost in this world, causing the mind to become distracted, unable to sleep, and lacking mindfulness. Therefore, we must return to looking at our own minds. The mind is chief, the mind is the leader, and the mind is extremely important. The Buddha taught us to not let the mind become too tense, and to not let it become too lax. Let the mind stay in the middle, without heedlessness. We should not be heedless in life, because human life is uncertain. It passes away very quickly. Various illnesses arise, and these degenerative diseases of the cells also come. Have you noticed? Nowadays people suffer from cellular degeneration. Degeneration in the intestines, degeneration in the stomach, degeneration in the brain. And before it can fully heal, sometimes it spreads everywhere, even into the lymph nodes. There is a lot of it, and it becomes uncontrollable. This body is a house. It is a nest of disease already. Roga Nidang means a nest of disease. Therefore, we are taught to contemplate that this body is a nest of disease, a dwelling place for all kinds of illnesses that arise together with the body. But we think of the body as our home, my home. But one day it decays and falls apart, and then we grieve and suffer. So we meditate that this is a nest of disease, a dwelling place of sickness. When there are teeth, there are diseases of the teeth. When there are gums, there are diseases of the gums. It is a place that accumulates illnesses and suffering. Do you see? Our teeth become sensitive, so we go for dental work, fillings, extractions. In truth, it's very painful. I myself felt that after going to the dentist. And I think of Venerable Ajahn Chah. I truly don't know how he managed it. His mind was truly beyond the world. Whenever he had dental problems, he had to go repeatedly for dental repairs, fillings, and extractions. He became very bothered by having to go like that. It was so difficult and painful. Dentist, let's do it this way. Just pull all the teeth out. It will be easier that way. I didn't ask that dentist whether, at the time of extraction, whether Venerable Ajahn Chah's teeth were already all loose, or whether there were still firmly rooted teeth remaining. But Venerable Ajahn Chah told him to remove them all at once. I will take responsibility for myself, he said. Then what could the dentist do? Since Ajahn Chah ordered it, the dentist extracted all the teeth, the entire mouth. Ajahn Chah said he couldn't eat rice for 15 days. It became very inflamed and swollen. Then he taught, be careful with these teeth. They may look white and beautiful, but be very careful with them. And whenever I have tooth pain or dental problems, I always think of him and remember his teachings like this. Therefore, whatever organs exist in this body, they can become nests where diseases arise. When we contemplate in this way, weariness arises, attachment fades, delight and satisfaction diminish. This is called walking the path towards knowing Dhamma or seeing the Dhamma. Therefore, we must contemplate constantly. We have sickness and illness as something natural. We must truly see them as being natural. Some people, when they become seriously ill, no longer wish to remain in this world or in this body. It suffers so much. If they can continue living, then they live. If they cannot, then they go. Their mind is able to accept it. This shows that their minds are elevated. They have trained well and no longer fear death. some people do not fear death. They no longer even wish to open their eyes again, because there is simply too much to encounter in this world. If they become ill, die, and everything ends, then it is finished. But those who can truly do this must have strong confidence that after death they will certainly go to a good destination. They have hope that they will reach a realm of happiness that they aspire to dwell in. They have very strong confidence in themselves because they have already cultivated goodness, all of generosity, morality, mindfulness, and wisdom. They continually make merit, practice generosity, meditate, and cultivate the path. Their minds become bright and joyful, ready to accept whatever conditions may arise. Let us contemplate that aging is natural for all of us. On average, human life is about 80 years. So how much time do we have left now? How much time does each person have left? If someone is already 70, then only 10 years remain. That is very little. It's not much at all. Therefore, we must diligently accumulate goodness through generosity, morality, and meditation. Life sounds long, doesn't it? But in truth, a human life only amounts to around 20,000 days. If we subtract the time spent sleeping, 20 years, it's really not long. Therefore, we must diligently practice and train ourselves, reflecting on separation and parting. But this reflection is not meant to create fear, nor to create carelessness. Rather, it is meant to awaken us so that we can see that whatever we possess, whether fame, reputation, praise from others, or great wealth and riches, the more tightly we cling, the less we want to leave this world, because attachment brings suffering. We want to remain in this world because it feels pleasurable, but separation from all that we love and cherish will inevitably come to us. The Buddha taught monks to contemplate in this way, and also taught lay people to contemplate in this way, because nothing is certain, especially the online world. Do you see how quickly things change? Today someone may be selling products very successfully, and the next day they cannot sell anything. Today they are famous, the next day they are forgotten. Something else catches people's attention, and social media shifts elsewhere again. The currents of social media are extremely intense. Tomorrow, people will already forget us. Things are like this. Therefore, let us contemplate that everything we perceive is impermanent. It always falls under the three characteristics of existence: the numbers of likes, shares, praise, acceptance, and all these things are uncertain and impermanent. That is why people say not to argue or insult others on social media, because it is dangerous. Even a small incident can quickly become poisonous, harmful, and destructive. Therefore, we must train ourselves not to cling to all these things. Let us uphold morality, practice meditation, and cultivate mindfulness a lot. Living in this world, we will then not become lost in the world, or lost in sensual experiences. If we are not lost in the world, and not lost in sensual experiences, then we see the world as it truly is. Our minds then remain above the world and above sensual experiences. Let us diligently maintain morality, meditation, and Dhamma practice. Then we will have knowledge, understand technology, and use technology beneficially. May all the lay followers in this era remember that even though the world spins quickly, our minds must not spin along with it. Do not let the mind spin along with it. But in all things, we can see that the world is being driven towards aging, sickness, and death. Nothing can resist them. Aging, sickness, and death are the greatest powers. There is nothing beyond them. Even if people possess great wealth and riches, they cannot command pain and illness to disappear, nor can they command suffering to end. Therefore, everyone must practice meditation and mental cultivation alike, and not live carelessly. I rejoice in all of you who have created goodness, accumulated merit, and continually practiced generosity, morality, and meditation. This is truly something worthy of rejoicing in and saying, Sato, well done, that you are sincerely training your minds and studying the Dhamma. May you all prosper in the Dhamma, succeed in life, and enjoy strong and healthy bodies. May you grow in blessings.